Inborn, great attitude. How about you, Gianna? What's the best thing that ever happened to you? Visiting grandma?
Yes.
Yep, that is a very wonderful thing. And you know what? A lot of people would say you're blessed, right? Because a good thing happened to you. But do you know what Jesus said? He said that you're blessed when bad things happen. I know. Crazy, right? Well, because a lot of times people might say that if you're poor, or if you're sick, or if you're sad, that you're not blessed. But Jesus said that God loves you all the time. You are blessed whether you are happy or whether you are sad, or whether you're poor or whether you're rich. You are blessed. But if you look at being rich as a sign of your blessing, you have the wrong idea, Jesus says. Because God loves you no matter what. But I think it's awesome that you were born, and it's awesome that you're visiting your grandma, right? Yeah. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you very much for coming up. All right, Mr. Preach Man. We have the great good fortune to have Don Horton with us this morning. Some of you might not know him because he comes to 8 o'clock. But Don is our guest preacher today. Thank you very much, sir.
Good morning, St. John's.
Good morning.
Today, the scripture of Jeremiah speaks to me in a way where he understood and explains the very complicated and often difficult circumstances that we as humans face in our efforts to become better Christians. He is calling us to become better Christians. I am reminded of the comments of Dr. John Hope Franklin that he gave to his graduating seniors during his last lecture. I was not there. My parents were his students at St. Augustine's College in Raleigh back in the day. But he ended the lecture with a question. He said, "When you come to the fork in the road, which road will you choose?" For us, as Christians, we have basically two options when we get to that fork in the road. Do we take the road that turns away from God, or do we take that road that follows God's teachings? And we have excellent examples of those who chose the right road to take the road of God's teachings. For example, we have Jesus and the apostles who sacrificed so much during a time when it was dangerous and very difficult to be a Christian and to go out and to talk to people about Christianity. It was something that a lot of people didn't want to hear and something that people in authority and governments were really afraid of. But yet and still, they persevered at great cost. I'm also reminded of Augustine of Hippo, who was born in Algeria, became a Roman Catholic theologian, and whose writings influenced the development of Western Christianity and philosophy. Again, at this time, he was born in 354 AD. He passed in 430, but during his life, again, it was not easy to be a Christian. I'm not asking us today to do those things, but the road to Christianity and being a better Christian was well paved by these people. I'd like to share with you some people who, to me, were heroes, who helped again pave the road to Christianity. But these are people who stepped beyond their normal lives to do things that were good And the template for all of their efforts had to be their devout faith and their efforts to be better Christians. First for me, there is A. Philip Randolph. He was born in 1889, and he organized and led the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters. With the support of fellow union people, he was able to organize them into a union, and later he was able to influence FDR, President Roosevelt, to issue an executive order banning discrimination in the defense industries. Later, through his advocacy for civil rights, he was able to persuade President Truman to issue an executive order ending segregation in the military. President Truman, as history will tell us, had some complicated perspectives about race in America. But upon having become aware of the violence, the murders of African-American soldiers in uniform in the South, he was moved to integrate the services. Randolph was a faithful member of the AME Church, and it was his faith that caused him to step out from the opportunities he would have had in other professions to do these wonderful things. He also pioneered the use of prayer protests, which became a successful tactic in the civil rights movement. Another person to me important at this time was the Reverend Wyatt T. Walker, born in 1928 in Petersburg, Virginia. He became a Baptist minister of a church in Petersburg, and later was a pastor of Canaan Baptist Church in Harlem, New York. He was very successful there, had a broad congregation, and was doing very, very well by all standards. However, Dr. Martin Luther King called him to come to Atlanta to be the first executive director and chief of staff of the Southern Christian Leadership Council. Now, you had to think, here's a man living in Harlem with a great congregation, doing very, very well, and Dr. King wants him to come to Atlanta and march with him in the civil rights protests. Reverend Walker knew that if he walked with Martin, if he went down there, that there would be dangers, that there would be challenges that he would not ordinarily face. But yet and still, it was his faith that led him to do that. There were others whose faith and desire to be better Christians cost them their lives. I think of Jonathan Daniels, a 1961 graduate of VMI and valedictorian of his class. He received a prestigious scholarship to go to Harvard, where he entered Harvard, but yet and still, he answered a call to himself to become an Episcopal priest. Jonathan Daniels entered the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Mass. He probably could have done anything he wanted to do with his life. He was brilliant academically, came from a family of means, and he had a lot of opportunities, but he answered a call to become an Episcopal priest. And as a seminarian, he also responded to pleas from Dr. King and others for the clergy to become involved in the civil rights movement. He found himself down in Loudoun County, Mississippi, which was one of the toughest places for voter registration projects. He and a Roman Catholic priest and two African-American ladies were arrested one afternoon, and when they were released later that day, they were walking down the street and they approached a store. The ladies wanted to buy a Coca-Cola. And as they approached this store, a part-time deputy sheriff stepped out with a shotgun and told them that Negroes were not allowed. A verbal confrontation ensued, which led this deputy sheriff to train his shotgun on the ladies. And as he pulled the trigger, Jonathan Daniels stepped in front of the lady to protect her. He lost his life right there that day in his effort to be a better Christian, to do for others. He, like Viola, Luiso, and many others, answered a call to do for their neighbors, to do things for their neighbors that they didn't have to do. And so many of them are part of our history in this country. The road for us has been paved well by these people, from Jesus, the apostles, Augustine, Randolph, Walker, Daniels, Luiso, and countless others. It is not as dangerous today for us to follow these teachings as it was then. Our worship here at St. John serves as the guardrails to keep us on this path. But for us, if each one of us leave here today and each one reach one to do something for someone beyond our orbit here in St. John's, that's the first step in becoming a better Christian, which Jeremiah is calling for us to do. In closing, I'd like to add a couple of vignettes of people in the Old West who were people of faith who stepped out on a limb to do good things that we might not know about. There's a lady named, who's referred to as Stagecoach Mary. Some of you might be familiar with her, but her name is Mary Fields. She was born in Tennessee in slavery, and after the emancipation, she moved to Texas. During her life, she had become very close to an Ursuline nun out of Toledo, Ohio. The Ursuline Order transferred this nun to Cascade, Montana, to open a mission for Native Americans. As this nun's health began to fail, Mary Fields moved from Texas to Montana to support her in her work at this mission. She needed to get a job to provide some funds for the mission, so she bid on the U.S. Mail Service's Star Route, and she got the bid, and she began delivering mail for the Postal Service. Now, she was not an employee of the Postal Service because Star Routes were routes that were offered on bids or contracts. But Mary was known to be a crack shot. She could handle a team of horses as well as any man. And in Cascade, Montana, she was known to go into a saloon and enjoy an adult beverage from time to time. That was against the laws of the state and the city, but the mayor made an exception for Stagecoach Mary. For her to move from Texas to Montana to deliver the mail is quite an accomplishment. She could handle a team of horses as well as any man, and she delivered the mail in a wagon. But when the snow got to be so high that the horses and the wagon couldn't handle it, she darned her snowshoes and went out and delivered the mail. She never lost the day. She never lost the mail. Lastly, most of us know Frederick Douglass, or know about him. He was the first African-American United States Marshal to serve in the Marshal Service. He served as the Marshal in the District of Columbia, where I was honored and privileged to serve during my career as a U.S. Marshal for the District of Columbia. But there's another Deputy U.S. Marshal out in the West who, until recently, did not get any fame or notoriety. His name is Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves was a Deputy U.S. Marshal assigned to the Fort Smith, Arkansas office. His jurisdiction was the Oklahoma Indian Territory. That included Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and probably part of Missouri as well. Bass was known to be a crack shot, a legendary horseman, and he was known to make more apprehensions of fugitives and criminals than any of his colleagues. Bass had a partner, a Native American, which allowed him to go into the Indian territory to engage Indians in a way that many of his colleagues could not. Now, as a young man, as a kid, I would say, and I'm telling my age in the 50s, I was always sitting in front of the TV looking at the Lone Ranger and his trusty aide, Tonto. History tells us today that the Lone Ranger mimicked the career of Bass Reeves. Now, Bass Reeves and Murray Fields had to be people of faith to go out to meet the challenges that they met and to do the things that they did. I just can't imagine myself wanting to step that far out on a limb to do those things in those times. But today, we don't have to go out on that limb that far. All we have to do is reach out to someone that we don't know and to do something for them. All of these people had two basic things in common that led them to achieve so very much. One was their faith, and one was courage. And courage is often defined as the absence of fear. But more importantly, it is also the acknowledgement of a greater good that needs to be accomplished at all costs. So as we leave today, let's leave with the idea that each one of us will reach one beyond our community. Thank you.
Hear our prayer
for those in need.
for those who do not have enough food, for those who lack money, for those who are estranged from their families, for those who worry about many things. Comfort those who mourn, heal, and strengthen those who are sick. We pray especially for those in our prayer list. Lois, Jay, Daryl, Faith, DeHaven, Rashad, Geneva, Berlin, Autumn, Elizabeth, Sandra, and Lawrence. And those whom we remember now, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this congregation, for newcomers, visitors, longtime members, and those who are absent from us today, root us deeply in your word and increase our faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially Norman Kraft. Encourage us by their example and lead us in faith until we are united at your unending peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy,
we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
That's peace. Thank you for being here and serving us.